wish to warmly welcome everyone. We are already a little bit late in the time, so we will immediately start our enthusiastic pre-evening program. It's an Adivas program with a song to our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We brought the words of the song with you, for you with us. Möchtest, hast du die Geige mitgebracht? Wenn du möchtest, kannst du spielen. You know by heart or? It's a very, very nice song which is sung to ask for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It starts with, "My dear Lord Chaitanya, please be merciful to me. Because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within the three worlds? Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls. But I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first." And then the prayer continues to the different associates. If you wish you can make a peaceful atmosphere, then it's nicer and more easy to concentrate.
Oh, Oh, yeah. Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajantam Sagana Raghunatam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Purijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagadpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishamanusude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, I wish you a very, very warm welcome at our Gaura Lila Katha just an evening before the great event Gopunim, the appearance day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I wish to welcome all our guests who have come from far and near, as far as Armenia with the violin. Hare Krishna. Or nowadays Mayapur, India. And I also want to extend a warm welcome to the people who are now online and are watching with us or being with us for this evening program. For our guests who are just new to this particular program, the Gaura Lila evening, today is an evening we have been, like all years, looking very much forward, because we are trying to get into the mood for tomorrow. Tomorrow being the appearance day of our hero, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this evening is meant to be a preparation or a fine-tuning for all of us, so that we can be properly tuned in. I like to use this word fine-tuning, or to tune ourselves in, because I'm from the old times when the world was younger and we used radios, where we had to find the right channel by tuning ourselves in. When you were properly tuned in, you could hear the wonderful concert, but when you were just a little bit on the side, you heard Franz Josef Strauss, a German politician who spoke not very high class subject matters. So to be properly tuned in, to be on the right channel when we come into a spiritual event, is very important. Otherwise, you might still be tuning into your mind and the constant noise
up there, which is not always very helpful for your spiritual development. Sometimes, maybe. A few days ago, I was asked to write a little message for the day tomorrow, and this message has traveled to Australia, and there the people who work on my different social medias are preparing this message with the last editing touch, and will be on the internet tomorrow. And I wanted to address in this message something which I would like to talk this evening about. It's the question, what if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come? There's a song, ke jabi bhaire, oh brothers, how would we have been able to survive if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come? And then there is a philosophical discussion, why, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to the world, you know, his ecstatic love, his emphasis on making no distinction between different people, no judgment according to qualification and disqualification, but unconditioned love for everyone. What if he would not have come? And I felt I should answer this in a very subjective way. What would be the life of Sachinandan Swami if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come? Well, for sure, he would not have met, when he was very young, these devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra before a shopping center in Hamburg, Karstadt, not a shopping center, a Kaufhaus, a big, you know, how do you call these? Wow. Supermarket, yes. I would not have met his followers, and I would, by now, I don't know if my father was right, I would have been a CEO now, a director. I don't think I would have become one. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come, there also wouldn't have been this defining moment in my life. As I told you very often, I was a Rolling Stones fan. At that time you were either a Beatle fan, that means you went with the mainstream society, or you were a revolutionary, that means you were a Rolling Stone fan. There were nothing else amongst the young people. So when one of the people whom I considered my friends from the Stones had just died, there was a drug accident, well, then I wouldn't have been in a mood to see the next group. The next group were monks. After it was announced that there was a tragic death in the band, and after Mick Jagger had announced his feelings and read a poem, there was the Hare Krishna, Radha Krishna temple singing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra was brought 500 years ago by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the planet. And I remember still, I looked at the TV, I was very, very disturbed that the person I knew had maybe even done suicide. No one knew this at that time. And after this, I was soft in my heart, and I said, well, let's listen to the monks. And they chanted Hare Krishna. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have been there, I would not have met my spiritual master, who was a representative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, and I would not be like this now. I would not have spent more than 45 years as a monk. My life would for sure not have been the same without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is for sure. This I know. I don't know what I would have done if he would not have come, where I would be now. I don't know if with my tendency for adventure I would still alive. I would be still alive. I don't know. I don't even want to speculate about it, because let's look at the present. Who am I now? Not into a future, or not too much even into the past. Let's look at the present. I'm a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm traveling all over the world as a monk who teaches people spiritual life and tries to encourage them. And I owe this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the movement which he started and which goes on in the present moment still. So yes, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have come, I would not be here with all of you, and you would also not be here with all of me. I'm saying all of me because there are different sides to me, but yes, we wouldn't be together here and look for tomorrow. This is a very simple way to approach this question without touching really the inner dimension. But today I would like to touch also a little bit the inner dimension, that which is going on inside, because I feel that is maybe even more important. There is a special contribution which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, which I think is very important and which touches on the inner dimension. It has a lot to do with the painting here which you see before you. This painting was made by Kanu Priya, one of our members here in the Dharma Castle, and it sprung, it came forth from a very spiritually important moment for her. She was sitting in Puri, India, on the bank of the ocean, and all of a sudden saw a boat in the ocean. It's very small in there, but you can see it. A boat with a deity of Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. You can watch later. Kanu Priya has shown yet another of her sites, which may be something to be more developed in the future. An artist. There's a boat which crosses an ocean. The material world has been often called the ocean of birth and death. Those who are born, they die. And those who have died, they are born again. An ocean of birth and death, a very deep ocean, with many people struggling in their lives to stay afloat, to keep their head over the water, to make sense of it all. But very often, waves are there in this ocean of, impulses, anger, lust, enviousness, illusion. These are the dangerous waves. And, in this ocean, there are also the senses with their constant demands, which knock at the in our life. Oh, you must go this way, you must go that way, try this, make a lot of money, then you can finally buy some time in your life so that you can find maybe to yourself a little bit more of whatever people have as agenda. And the ocean of birth and death has many waves, many currents, which push us here and which pull us there. And many people, not all, actually all of us, are trying to cross this ocean. We have two arms when we are on the spiritual journey. One is our knowledge, and then our spiritual practice. And we try to cross our life using, when we are on the spiritual path, our arms of knowledge and of practice. But are we really strong enough to overcome our obstacles on the path? The strong obstacles of, you know, a disturbed mind, a disturbed heart, a disappointed heart. Not all of us are strong enough to cross this ocean. Waves roll over us. Waves roll even into the Dharma castle, where unexpected things happen in our lives. Things which we really didn't plan, which we really didn't intend. We, if we are honest, we are not in control of all the aspects of our lives, but there are many things which push us this way or that way. Just like on an ocean, there are many waves which push us this way and that way. There's a very nice verse in the scriptures which say, so many people try to cross the ocean of ignorance, and it's very difficult because it is infested, means it's full, with many dangerous sharks. Although people undergo severe troubles to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like a boat for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. This is the motto of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Don't try to fight on your own. Don't try to just make it all your way. But surrender to the higher plan, to the plan of the Lord, and take shelter at the safe boat of his lotus feet. I think when you look at the image, it's much easier to cross an ocean on a boat than it is by swimming. Because with swimming you quickly get tired, even if you are a strong swimmer. If you have a boat, you stand chances that you will reach the other end of the ocean, the shore. So if you are on your own, without help, it's very, very difficult. But if you have the strong shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then it's really easy. Why this is so is also talked about in the scriptures, and I would like to read one Sanskrit verse for you, sing one Sanskrit verse actually. Let me just get my music together here. Yat pada pankaja pala savila sabaktiya kama shayam gratitam ut gratayam tishanta tatvana rikta matayo yatayo pirudha shroto ganas tamaranam bhajavasudevam. The difficulty to make progress in spiritual life is there because all of us have a knot in the heart, a tightly, let me see if I can show you, a tightly closed knot. It's the knot of ego. our desires. Maybe you have desires, Ananda Nitai. These desires which we have form our ego, they are my desires. Maybe you have desires, Ananda Varan. These particular desires which no one knows about, and you may also get to know them later, form your karmic identity. That is very strong. It's very difficult to cut this, if you at all wish to do this. Some people believe, and let me just follow any desire which I have, that's my way of life. But desires are very often something which is foreign to us, which are implanted or given to us from outside. They don't have anything to do with us. They are just there for some time, and then they may hopefully they can go. No? They are not a permanent investment in us. So it says here in this text, it's very, very difficult to overcome the heart-knotted desire in the heart. Because this is very difficult. Those who are not bhaktas, not devotees, not surrendered to the Lord, the jnanis and the yogis, although they try to stop the waves of sense gratification, they cannot do so. They are forced, beyond or against their will sometimes, to do something which is not good and which brings them into a difficult, unwanted situation. Therefore, again the same point is made. Tamaranam Bhajavasudevam. Engage your desires in bhakti to Krishna, the son of Vasudev. Transform your desires by putting them in the fire of bhakti. Just like some iron, it is cold and hard. If the iron is placed into fire, it transforms and becomes warm and soft also, and full of light and heat. And so in the same way, if you engage in bhakti, your heart transforms. Hare Krishna, thank you for being with us. Have a nice day, nice evening. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So this is, I think, an important point which we have to see in our lives. There's so much ego. In this room, I can feel it. Beyond this room. Ooh, if I look into the internet, so much ego. It's desires which build our karmic identity and which are very difficult to give up. By the worship of Krishna, you transform them, you put them in the fire. The iron, the cold iron becomes soft. Maybe some of you have experienced this when you were in the fire of bhakti. Maybe you have seen Pink Floyd is no longer an option. Hari Seva. My secret CD collection is not interesting any longer. I am able to forgive. Although I could not, never imagine I could do this. I am able to have love in my heart, although I was always a selfish ignoramus. You know, I can see when there's bhakti in the heart, a true transformation of the heart takes place. Maybe you have experienced this at times. So bhakti is a safe boat which brings us across. Because why is it safe? Because in bhakti, and that is Lord Chaitanya's contribution, you are no longer dependent on yourself. Mr. Swimmer and Mr. Sinker, in the ocean of birth and death. You have a boat of Krishna's lotus feet now to go into. Those of you full of ego and desires, now you have engaged yourself in chanting and hearing, listening to Krishna Katha, serving Krishna, and all of a sudden you find out there's life beyond my own desires, there's life beyond my own plan, and it's a much better life. No, you have not seen ice cold stairs. Of course you have seen. Everyone has seen that when there is bhakti, then we are no longer on our own. In bhakti, a superior strength, Krishna, comes. And a very good example of this is Subari Muni. Subari Muni is the hero of some of my god brothers and myself. He was a yogi and lived at the bank of the Yamuna. During the day he stayed on a hill. In the night he slept on a hill, but during the day he went for his meditation into the waters of the Yamuna to stay undisturbed. He didn't want to be amongst people. You see, now nowadays in Braj still many gufas, actually many caves which are dug by saints so that they can stay under the earth and are not disturbed by the sounds, noises and mental energies of materialistic people. I sometimes have to laugh. They were built 100 years ago, some are 500 years old. But what are we to do today? You know, 100 years ago, Vrindavan was an idyllic forest with many wonderful wild animals. Today, Vrindavan is a forest of human beings with high-rise buildings at the bank of the Yamuna. The people built at that time gufas, the saints, to stay alone. So Subari Muni was one of those, very strict. For his meditation, he went on the bank of the Yamuna. Not bank, on the bottom of the Yamuna. So once he was meditating in the water, when he noticed there was some turbulence in the Yamuna beyond the flowing of the water. And as he looked closer, he saw a huge eagle had flown into the Yamuna for hunting. And right before his eyes, the eagle captured a large fish and took the fish out of the water for his meal. This eagle was none else than Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Subari Muni saw him, but Subari was disturbed. What? Garuda, how can you do this? You have just killed one of my neighbors. And then he used his mystic power for a terrible Vaishnav apparat. The greatest of devotees, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, was cursed by him. Should you ever come back into the Yamuna, into this area, for fishing or anything, then you will die. By the power of my curse, which I lay on you, you will die. Now, I think it is within the experience of all of us. When we for some reason have an unhealthy relationship with Vaishnavas, if we become angry towards them, or if there is something like ill feelings, somehow it always reflects back to us, and we are the ones who suffer the most. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his mercy to everyone except those who were blaspheming Vaishnavas. In fact, he asked from all his devotees to be kind to all living entities, everyone, daya, full of compassion. But you really got in trouble with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or he turned away from you the moment you turned against his devotees. Oh, Mahaprabhu said, just do two things. Never offend devotees and chant the holy name, and I will personally take you back to Godhead. But the moment we offend devotees, something changes in our life. Something changes in our heart, really. We lose our contact to spiritual life. This is what happened to Shobari Muni. He could not maintain his tapasya any longer. He could not go on with his meditation. He felt his heart, which was once so focused on his meditation, he felt how his heart was becoming irritated, and he had so many desires. So finally he thought, I can't live like this any longer. I have to marry. Go through householder life, bring children into this world, and live a worldly life. So he, in Mathura at that time, lived a king, a very powerful king. Let me find. His name was Mandata, and he, King Mandata, and he was the emperor of the world. He was a great worshipper of Vishnu and had developed a lot of physical and mental strength, so much so that even the great Ravana feared him. Ravana feared no one. He made the whole world cry in fear of him. That's why his name is Ravana. But he feared Mandata. Mandata had three sons. You know one of them. His first son was Purukutsa. His second son was Ambarish. Yes, our Maharaj Ambarish. And his third son was Muchukunda, who was a mystic yogi, not the Bhagavatam Muchukunda. And because he was a very strong man, he had 50 daughters. Kings were married to several queens, so no woman should be afraid. My God, is this all from one woman? This is no, many, many queens. And Shobari Muni remembered this, and he went to Mandata and said, I want to change my ashram. Can I marry one of your daughters, please? And Mandata saw Shobari Rishi. He was covered with algae. Maybe some mussel, some shells. He was a big yogi. His hair was not like Hari Seva. Nice frizura, so he thought, he's an unlikely candidate for a princess, but if I tell him, maybe he will be disappointed and he will get angry on me. I better give a diplomatic answer. And he said, see, in our family we have this tradition that the women are free to choose their own husband. If my daughter chooses, some of my daughters chooses you, it's up to them. They have my full blessings. He knew my daughters would never agree to marry such a person with such an appearance. So Subari Muni understood, and he used his mystical potencies to go outside, no longer inside, no longer for Shaktis, but for outside perfection. And he turned himself into the man of the old times dreams. You know, everyone in old times were dreaming of such a man if they were a woman. And he came this way in this statue in a changed body into the palace wanted to meet the princesses. But all the princesses had seen the man going inside the palace. They had all informed each other. They were all 50 of them out on the balconies of their rooms and saw the man and declared, "This man is fit to be my husband." And because all of them had such a strong feeling and strong response to Subari, he married them all and used his mystic abilities to first of all construct a huge palace with small little palaces for each one of his wives. It had a park, it had lakes. I think those of you who know, who read the Bhagavatam, are reminded of Kadama Muni, another yogi who created such a huge flying palace. Actually, it was an aircraft, a vimana, and he was sometimes able to expand himself into many forms, so that his wives didn't have to wait for him, you know, to be ready with one visit to one woman. He was really there for all of them, a caring husband. Once Mandata visited one of his daughters, you know, in the palace, and he walked into the palace, he saw this tremendous opulence. He thought, "My God, my son-in-law has created something which I could not create with all my royal influence. I mean, what I see here is the work of mystical potency. This is much more than what a regent, a politician, a king can do. I will renounce the world and I will develop my mystical potency also." He went in the other direction. So once Subari Muni had a moment which all of us know, a moment of deep reflection. He was alone. He thought about his life. He compared his life with what it was before, when he was living on the bank of the Yamuna, on a hill overlooking Braj. Now he lived in Govardhan town, in a huge palace. You can still see the remnants of this palace. He lived as a man who tried to satisfy his desires. But if he was honest, he felt an inner emptiness, a void, a feeling of inner discomfort, a distress, because if you increase material desires and follow them, they become stronger. I think those of you who try have noticed this. It's not satisfying. More desires come. No, I think you might know from your previous life, and also, you know, previous means before you started your spiritual path, or those of you who have made some adventures in the material directions, they might remember, oh, If I go in this direction, I'm not as content as if I sit and read the Bhagavatam and are touched by a point of the Bhagavatam. Or if I'm in a deep Gaur Krishna Kirtan and I feel the melody touches, not only the melody, the holy name touches me. Or when I do my worship, everyone knows this. You know, it's not something which is a religious propaganda by the sadhus to make our life miserable. It is something which is a known fact. By increasing material desires, it's like increasing the flame, the fire, once more, and burns more and stronger. He said, because he had some knowledge of the self, he could say sense gratification only inflames the fire of desire. Therefore, he said a verse which I've written down for us. A person interested in liberation from material bondage must give up association of persons interested only in material sense gratification. And he should not engage the senses externally more than necessary. If at all one wants to have association, take association of good Vaishnavas and fix your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he told all his wives, tell us. He had a big Easter Gosti, 50 members of his household were there. Not only 50 members, he had 100 sons, altogether 500 sons. No, 5,000 sons. I've written this down to surprise all of you. He was really using his power for the life he had chosen. He had a big, big gathering with all of them, family meeting. Everyone was coming. He says, I want to ask you one question. Are you satisfied with this life? Are you satisfied with what I have created? Are your senses giving peace and you are free from desires? So only someone is satisfied who doesn't need anything. Someone who's still in need is not there, is not satisfied. And they all said, no, but we don't know what to do. He said, I know what to do. Come with me. And he went with them to the Yamuna. And he instructed his wives, who had great faith in him, in the process of bhakti, and became an example of what the scriptures talk about, that if you have the lotus feet of Krishna, as if you sit in the boat of Krishna, then you can cross the ocean very easily. There's a song which I will send Kanupriya. I think I can find, I have an idea where to look. It says, come in the boat of Lord Jagannath and cross the ocean of material life. Come, cross the waves, and the dangerous sharks will not harm you if, as long as you stay in the safe boat of the lotus feet of Purushottam. Purushottam, that's the name of Lord Jagannath in Purushottam Chetra or Jagannath Puri. No? So, this is Mahaprabhu's gift to all of us. He has given us the chanting of the holy name, which is a process of bhakti. He has given us bhakti in the form of the chanting of the holy name and has offered us a safe boat to cross the ocean of material existence. We just have to be intelligent and choose, do I want to stay in the ocean or do I want to climb on the boat? Do I want to be moved about by the waves of desire? No? Do I want, or do I want to enter the safe boat of bhakti? This question we have to answer for ourselves. We have to make a decision. I think there are three lessons to be learned. One is misplaced compassion. Our Sobari Muni had compassion for this fish and offended Garuda, a Vaishnava. What is the result of that? And the second lesson, what is the result of Vaishnava apparat? But more than anything, we can learn from the life of Sobari Muni, which is an example of someone who in his late life took to bhakti and inspired all those who were in contact with him, his 50 wives and the sons also, the many sons he had, to take to bhakti. How powerful the process of bhakti is. My dear devotees, bhakti is like a fire. At the time of death, the body of those who are cremated is given to a fire, an external fire, which is burning the gross body. But what is with the subtle body? The body of the mind, the ego, the intelligence. That stays alive, and that brings us into a new material body. The fire of bhakti is the only fire, my dear devotees, which can burn the subtle body, the inner body, the mind, the ego, which is so full of desires. That is the power of Mahaprabhu's gift. He has brought bhakti into this world. He has taught us about the lotus feet. He has brought us this fire of bhakti, which is especially there in the seven flames of the Sankirtan Yajna. The Sankirtan Yajna is the only, let us say, as far as the bhakti is concerned, it's the main bhakti process, how to live in bhakti, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to all of us. There's a song by Lochan Das Thakur which says, come, says my Mahaprabhu, come to the sacrificial arena of chanting the holy name. The ear is the sacrificial pit. How do you say this in German language? Das Ohr ist so die Opferstelle. Right? The ear is the sacrificial pit. The tongue is the ladle, as der Opferlöffel. And if you pour the holy name into the ear with your tongue, then a fire will burn, the fire of sacrifice, which will burn your subtle body, and you will become for the first time full of bliss. Anandam Vudi Varanam. Oh, Ananda Varana. We have given this name, it's from Shikshastakam. The bliss increases, you know. When you pour ghee into the fire of the senses, it burns you. But if you pour the holy name into the sacrificial fire of the sacrificial pit of the holy of your ear, my dear devotees, your subtle body will burn. Lord Kapila talks about this. Bhakti burns the subtle body, means the impurities in the subtle body. All of us have seen. I know Vinay's father and mother go very often on a full Brajmandal Parikrama for a few days And I've met them twice. Two times they have visited me when they had completed the Braj Mandaparigram in the place where I stay when I'm in Vrindavan. And the mother is a little elderly, and father also. They are not so strong in body. They're not doing anything for gymnastics or so. Only cooking and other things which they do in the family. But they told me, I said, no problem to walk so many kilometers. No. Brajanand, we feel the bliss of being in Braj. And this is bhakti. You know, the fire of bhakti takes away all these unnecessary things in the mind, all these weaknesses, all this no, I don't want, all these problems in our mind. Sometimes you may say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has distributed to bhakti even to unqualified people, but is this not in the mode of ignorance? In the Gita it says, Adesha kale yatanam apatrebhyasya diyate asatkritam avagyatam tatamasam udharitam. Any charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy people, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given bhakti and charity at an impure place, Hamburg, Köln, Frankfurt, Delhi, at an improper time. There was no auspicious constellation. Everyone who comes to in contact with the Sankirtan party, that there is no proper time or improper time to unworthy persons. That's us. Is this not charity in the mode of ignorance? Sometimes we hear this, Krishna consciousness is given to unqualified people. Look at their movement. It's a movement of greenhorns. They are so attached. They have so much politics. They are unqualified people. They are not different from anyone else. It doesn't work. So sometimes they say Mahaprabhu is in the mode of ignorance. His contribution is given to unqualified people, to people like us. The Brahmanas say like this. No? The Brahmanas say like this. But our argument is no. It's a quality of Mahaprabhu, of mercy, of pure mercy. When the king comes home from a big conquest, Eroberungszug, he will go through his town on a grand procession, and he will open the treasure vaults, die Schatzkisten, of his empire to all the beggars on the street, all the children on the street, all the people who come out. Is this a bad quality? You know, it shows mercy, it shows compassion, it shows great, great eagerness to give the treasures to others. This is our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has accepted even us. Hare Krishna. No, you still think you are so qualified? He has accepted even us with our complicated Western minds. Hare Krishna. What more proof do you need for the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's a great, great mercy. He is like the merciful king who has done this. And he has given a promise. If someone is not at all qualified, but if he chants one particular name of his, he will become qualified. If you think, oh, my life has not yet been blessed, then you must chant one name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will remind you of a discussion. Once Mother Sachi, when after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, Mother Sachi came to Advaitacharya's house and she met with her son and she said, "You know well the pain of a mother. You have seen me when your older brother Vishwarup took sannyas. You have seen how I cried. You have seen how your father died." Jagannath Mishra died after this, when his oldest son Vishwarup took sannyas and left the home. "Now you have also taken sannyas. You know well the pain of the mother." "Now, although I was praised," she said, "now the reactions of my pious and impious activities, birth after birth, have fructified. At least if I die, I will become free from suffering, the embarrassment of public condemnation. The people will say, 'You didn't take care of your son. He left home at a young age.'" "Although I was praised as the mother of Vishvamba, now I will become the object of everyone's laughter. No one will utter my name any longer." When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he said, "O mother, please do not speak in this way. I'm telling you the truth. Although I have left my home, in every country where I go, you will remain my mother. Even in my previous lives, you were my mother, and I was your son. I am worshipped throughout the three worlds, but you are worshipful even for me. If someone says, 'O son of Sachi,' even if they are completely devoid of devotional practices, they at once bring me along with all my associates under their control. Whosoever joyfully sings the name Sachinandana becomes full with transcendental knowledge, expert in all the scriptures, filled with love, and exceedingly dear to me. One who simply utters the name Sachinandana,
Sachinandana
is blessed and has purchased me. Whoever repeatedly sings Sachinandana,
Sachinandana
with a happy heart, his knowledge and wealth are fully successful, and he personally becomes a sacred place of pilgrimage. One who speaks the name Sachi, Sachiputra, or Navadvip attains the fruit of perfectly studying Vedanta. If at any time a person sings Shri Sachi, Shri Sachi, Shri Sachi,
Shri Sachi,
I remain satisfied with him for lifetimes. What more can I say? That person becomes my guru." This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consoled Mother Sachi. Then he said, "Whenever you call me, I will be with you. Do not worry. We are eternally together. And this is what happened. Mother Sachi had cooked after Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas and lived in Puri, far away from Navadvip. Whenever she had cooked, she offered it to her son in her mind. And when he looked, she looked at the preparations. They were half eaten. Mahaprabhu later sent one devotee from Puri, and the devotee came to Mother Sachi and said, "Mother Sachi, I have a message from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You should not think it's illusion when your pots are half full. I personally come and eat because I want to prove that I am Sachinandan." Yeah? Some of you are thinking, "Oh my God, he says his own name now. He's not ashamed. He says it in the internet. I'm not Sachinandan. I'm Sachinandan Dasa." That's a total different story. You know, the Sachinandan is someone totally different. It has, he is my savior, not some. Vaishnava knowledge is always important. Yes, so this is what I wanted to say. According to this words of Mahaprabhu, it's from Lochan Das Thakur's work, Chaitanya Mangal. According to this, we are all now very dear to Lord Chaitanya. He will not forget us for the rest of our lives. You are blessed. According to this text, have you said Vinay the name? Yeah, have you said so? Your day is successful. Hare Krishna. And we will just sing for 1 minute. We are on time according to this wristwatch. Just one minute, and we will end.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Krishna, thank you all very much for coming. Thank you also for being with us on the online. Please watch for more or come for more tomorrow at the Berlin Temple when we will have a Gopurim festival. Thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful Gopurim with a lot of blessing, a lot of crossing the ocean, a lot of thought about your own boat and how much you are in the boat and how much you are outside the boat. We are sometimes in the boat, but sometimes we are wanting to swim a little. Return to the boat, swim there, it's much nicer. Thank you. Hare Krishna.